And I'll begin with an introduction. Kuf Hei and Kuf Vav are actually one long kapitel divided into two. I don't mean that, but sort of. There are a few. It says in the Gemara that Kapitel Aleph and Kapitel Beis are one kapitel also, but that says in the Gemara. This doesn't say in the Gemara. The reason I know this is because if you look on Kapitel Kuf Vav, it has a title, has a kapitel. It says like this. This capital follows the previous capital. And the poet, the author of this capital, is saying, he's praising and thanking Hashem, that He did for us additional miracles that we did not mention before. In other words, Kapitel Kuf Hei is a chock full of nisim. Mamish, the whole capital, it starts with Avraham and Yitzchak and Yankiv, and Golos Mitzrayim, and Yosef HaTzadik, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe and Aaron, and then he brings the Makis Choshech, and Dam, and Sadeya, and Arev, and Kinim, and Barad. I'm reading the last capital, in Arbe, and the whole deal, Makis Bechiris, and then they take all the Mitzrayim's wealth, and they leave Mitzrayim, and the Abishah gives them a cloud and fire, gives them Slav, and gives them Mon. The whole previous capital is full of nisim. This capital continues. So it would seem on the surface that two capital are one continuum. Capital Kuf Hei is miracles, capital Kuf Vav is miracles. Now, assuming that this is true, let me make a comment. Capital Kuf Zayin, which is the following capital, is the capital we say Friday afternoon before Mincha. This capital is rather famous. Because this capital, Kuf Zayin, has a theme. And the theme of Capital Kuf Zayin is Yeidu la deshem chastoy v'nifloeithun on the other, which repeats itself. Pasik Ches, Pasik Tezvov, Pasik Chof Aleph, Pasik Lamed Aleph. Four times, the same exact words. Yeidu la deshem chastoy v'nifloeithun on the other. Because this is, Capital Kuf Zayin is what we would call Mizmer L'Soida. Right? People go through tragedy or risk or danger. But the Pasuk Eidel Hashem Chastev and Nifla'eis of the other is repeated four times because this is the long version of Mizmer L'Soida. When a person goes through different types of tests and survives, he has to bring a carbon tater, which happens to be the Chitas of today. And the Rem is Chayim. Ches Yud Yud Mem. Chayim means Cholish and Esrape. If you were sick and you survived, you have to bring a carbon tater. Yud is Yedei Hayom Sha'alu. If you went out at sea and you survived, you bring a carbon tater. Yaitzim Beis HaAsurim, if you come out of jail, you bring a carbon tater. And Mem is Holchei Midbar, if you walk through the desert.
Right?
Benching Goyma, right? Benching Goyma is Midbar Seder. So Kuf Zayin is thanking Hashem for miracles. And the reason we say it Friday night, incidentally, is because the whole week we're in a very dangerous place spiritually. Shabbos, we're coming home. We thank Adei Bishop that we survived the week in Olam Hazeh. That's basically the idea. Which is incidentally why Shabbos, Yom Tov, you don't say it. Because Yom Tov, you're also not in Olam Hazeh. Like Chol HaMoed, right? Shabbos, Chol HaMoed, we don't say Hoidu. Because the week of Chol HaMoed, you're not working. You're not as involved in Olam Hazeh. So you don't have to thank Adei Bishop for surviving it. You're separated from it. But in any case, so it seems to me that Kuf Zayin is really like a thank you for Kuf Hei and Kuf Vav. Because we went through every imaginable Tzara. And we survived. So in other words, in a way, you could say, and you could say means, I don't know this as a matter of fact, but I'm allowing myself to assume that Kuf Hei and Kuf Vav are describing all the many miracles of Hashem, and Kuf Zayin is thanking Hashem for them. But there's a difference. Okay? And the difference lies in the key pasuk of each kapitel. Each kapitel has a pasuk, which so to speak is the pasuk of psukim. It's the core, the essence of the capital. Now, if you'll ask Lubavitcher, what's the most important pasuk in Capital Kuf Hei? You'll get as many opinions as there are psukim, and certainly in Capital Kuf Vav. But since I'm the Lubavitcher sitting here, I'm going to tell you my opinion. Okay, and the reason I say this is because when they make the Negunim, they try to figure out what the Rebbe would have chosen. I think that in Capital Kuf Hei, the most important pasuk is Hei. Zichru nifla'isav asherasav moifsav umishpatei fiv. We have to remember the wonders that he did, the miracles and the judgments of his mouth. In other words, the whole capital is remembering the miracles that Hashem did. What's the most important pasuk in Kuf Vav? This one is a no-brainer. I don't think anybody's going to argue about it. It's pasuk Beis. Mi yemal gvuras Hashem. Who could speak the gvuras, the strength of Hashem, Yashmiya, that can inform us, call to Hilasi all of his praise. So it seems like David HaMelech, or whoever the Meshayder is, whoever the poet is just finding different ways of saying the same thing. Hashem did many miracles for us. In Pitul Kufay it says, Zichen Afleis of Asher Osam Meiz Mishtefiv, and in Pitul Kufav it says, Mi Yemal Gvurz Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tehilasi. But there's a very, very big difference. When you look at Kufay and Kufav, you see a fundamental difference in the model of the Kapitul. A big difference. In other words, even though it says that they're the same, there's a core distinction between the two. And I'll tell you what it is. In Kapitul Kuf Hei, the Eibush is giving us free gifts. Just miracles for nothing. No charge. He has no expectation. Emant kein zachnish from us. He's not asking us for anything, he's just giving us. Kapitul Kuvav, the whole Kapitul, is Hashem giving us miracles, us being ungrateful, doing something wrong, getting into trouble, Hashem doing another miracle, and us being initially grateful and thankful, and then forgetting about it pretty quickly, getting ourselves invited into trouble, and Hashem performing miracles for us. You can count 8 or 9 different times. The Yam Suf, the story with Kibbutz Atava when they wanted Slav, Koirach, the Egel, the Meraglim, Baal Pe'er, Moshe Rabbeinu hitting the rock, and also when Jews went into Israel. This kapitel lists a whole bunch of events where the Jewish people did things that were wrong, and Hashem has to, so to speak, bail them out. So the two psuk kapitlach are describing miracles, but there's a basic difference. Kapitel Kuvhei describes miracles that Hashem gave us umzist, for free, no charge. Kapitel Kuvav says, I've given you so much, why are you so ungrateful? And this is why, Chavre, Pasuk Beis is so important. Mi yemal gvuras Hashem. Gvuras Hashem means the judgment of the Eibishter, right? Mi yemal, who could speak gvuras, the judgment of the Eibishter? In other words, to recognize that when the Eibishter tests and gives Yidden hardships, it's not Chas V'Shalom is being mean or cruel or negligent or he's ignoring us, but the Eibishter, so to speak, is keeping us in line. Yashmiya kol tehilasei, he can inform us of all the praise of the Eibishter. This is the nekuda of this kapitel, Kuvav, that the Eibishter keeps us his. And sometimes, in order to keep us his, there is Gevuras Hashem, but Gevuras Hashem actually exposed kol tehilasei, the true praise of Hashem, is recognized only when you see that Hashem could also be tough, right? Kapitel Kuvhei, Hashem is a nice father, he's giving and giving and giving, and Kuvav is giving, but he's expecting. And when we step away, he puts us back on the right path with what's called gvuras. That's the distinction between Kapitel Kuvav and Kapitel Kuvhei on the simplest level, on the pshat level. This is the gist of this kapitel. Eibishter is not going to let us get away. And I'll explain it to you, like I said, using a classic thought that, a Jew says to Eibishter, you know what, let's make a deal, Eibishter. I won't bother you, you don't bother me. Finished. Achman al-Islan, ayitar nidzagun. But I want to be like all the nations. I don't want to be your favorite child, and I don't want to put up with the judgment and the expectations and so forth. And Eibishter says, we made a deal at Har Sinai, and Eibishter has a good memory. We agreed to be his people. He agreed to be our God. And the terms of the deal are, he's never letting go of us. And he's never going to allow us to let go of him. And that's the gevuras of Hashem. The Eibishter keeps Yidden in check. In other words, lahavdol. We had this in the kosher class a couple of weeks ago, that it says in Sfarim, that Hashem gave the Neinoyach 7 mitzvahs. And they neglected it. So Eibishter says, okay, forget the 7 mitzvahs. Forget it. Not Hashem, the ganze ma'aseh. You don't want to keep 7 mitzvahs? Don't. The result of not keeping 7 mitzvahs in Neinoyach is catastrophic. It's terrible. You don't have Elam Haba and so forth and so on. But you don't want 7 mitzvahs. You're neglecting them anyway. Forget about it. He doesn't judge them. He doesn't punish them for not keeping their Shabbat mitzvahs in the air.
If they
keep it. Right, they have Olam Haba if they keep it. But the idea that the Eibishter says, we made a deal. I'm keeping my part of the deal. You keep your part of the deal. The Eibishter doesn't do that. By Yidden, the Eibishter says, we made a deal. I'm not letting you out of the deal. And that's the Gvuras Hashem. And that's the gist, that's the essence, that's the pnimius, that's the nekuda of this kapitel. Okay? There's a few things you have to know about Tilim. And I have to tell you that I don't know much about Tilim because I learned in a Hasidic yeshiva, which means we don't learn Tanakh, God forbid. Unless we're women, we don't learn Tanakh. It's a Hasidic. It's unfortunate. Let's get Tanakh. But I've learned a little bit. Every year I teach the ladies the Rebbe's Kapitel. I've been doing it now for 10 years, come on. So I had no choice. I learned a little Tillim. There's a few things you have to know about Tillim. Number one, every Kapitel has a prefix and a suffix, has a beginning and an end, has a hello and a goodbye, and then it has a middle. In other words, David HaMelech never ever starts to say what he wants to say. It always begins with Divrei Ritzo Yoshvach. He always begins with a hello, with an introduction, with praising Hashem. And then he goes into his issue. Whether David HaMelech is davening because he's in danger, or David HaMelech is very elated, very happy, and he wants to thank Hashem, he never goes straight to his point. He always begins with a few words, or sometimes even psukim, of Ritzo Yoshvach, introducing himself to the Eibishter, praising Hashem, and so forth. And at the end, he always thanks the Eibishter, right? Just like Shemayna Esrei. What's the model of Shemayna Esrei? You don't just come to the Eibishter and say, gimme, even though that's what we want to do. The first three berachas of Shemayna Esrei are called Ritzo Yoshvach, you're praising Hashem and acknowledging all the goodness of the Eibishter. The last three berachas of Shemayna Esrei, you're saying thank you. And the middle 13 berachas, you're asking Hashem for all of your needs. The Tillim has a similar model. You start off with praising Hashem. You finish it by thanking Hashem. In the middle, you have this kapitel. And this is true here too. The first pasuk or two or three or four or five. David HaMelech, whoever wrote this kapitel, is still not getting into the meat of the issue. He's sort of introducing himself. That's number two. And number three, it's known that the Tillim was written by 10 people. Okay, it says in the Gemara, 10 people. Of course, the compiler of the Tillim, the one who put it all together, was David HaMelech. The bulk of the Tillim, the vast majority of the Mizmeidim, are from David HaMelech. But it has many, many authors. There's the Bnei Kerach, and there's Asaf, and there's, of course, David HaMelech himself, Moshe Rabbeinu, other Marishan, Eison HaEzrachi. These are real people. These people actually existed. They were human beings who lived. They wrote praises to the Eibishter. David HaMelech collected all their praises, added a huge volume of his own praises, put them in an order, and compiled them in the Sefer Tillim. You understand?
He did that all on his own?
He collected it all on his own. Again, he took David, Moshe Rabbeinu says 11. 11 kapitlach Tillim on Moshe Rabbeinu. From Tzadik till Kuf on Moshe's kapitlach. Okay? And Livnei Kerach, there's a few from Bnei Asaf, from Asaf and from different people. We know who they are. We know which kapitel were written by which person. And usually it says the name of the author. This kapitel doesn't say the name of the author. The kapitel before doesn't say the name of the author either, but that's not a problem, because kapitel Kofhei appears almost word for word in Divrei HaYomim. And over there it says that David HaMelech sang. So we know that Kofhei is David HaMelech. Kofvav, we don't know who wrote it. The Mefarshim say that there's two possibilities. The first part, neither of the two commentaries that I saw attributed David HaMelech, they say it was written during the times of the Shoftim, either to reflect the tzaddis Yidden were having during the times of the judges, which is before David HaMelech, or as a prophecy. In other words, it's written as if Yidden already are in Golas. David HaMelech lived in the middle of the era of the Jewish people living in Israel. Jews lived in Israel 800 years. David was smack in the middle of those 800 years. So whoever wrote this is writing this in an anticipatory way. When Yidden go into Golas, this is what they're going to sing. But it doesn't seem obvious that it was written by David HaMelech. In other words, yes, the two kapitlach are hemshech. David links them, but they were not necessarily both written by David HaMelech. David HaMelech wrote Kuvhei, which is a very positive kapitel. Kuvav is a bisale, it's bittersweet. There's a good side to it and there's a negative side to it. You understand what I'm saying? In any case, if you have no more comments, we'll start. We'll read. Okay, Hallelujah. Whoever is speaking is praising the Eibishter. And he says, Hoidu la deshem kitayv. Let's thank and acknowledge and submit to God because He's good. What makes God good? Kilioi lom chastay. Now, let me read you the English translation. For His kindness is everlasting. That's a good translation, but I don't like it at all. And I don't think Hasidus likes it at all. The translation of the words Kilelem Chazir, what makes God good, is that God gives kindness, Lo'ilam, to the world. And the kindness Hashem gives the world is able to receive. Kiliyoyla, because to the world and in the world, Chasta, his kindness reaches.
And forever?
It means forever also. But there's another component here. If Hashem would give, you know what would happen? He would destroy us. We could not possibly get what Hashem has to give. We're praising Hashem, we're thanking Hashem, that the way He gives kindness is li'olam. In other words, it takes into consideration that there's a world, Hashem kevayochol, is mashpia chesed, He gives kindness to the world in a fashion, in a form, in a way that the world should be able to receive it. Okay? Now, let me give you an example, okay? The first two brachas of Shemoneh Esrei. The first bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is called Avos. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What do we do in Avos? We praise Hashem. HaGadol, HaGiber, HaNeira, Alaki Avraham, Alaki Yitzchak. Hashem is wonderful. He's so kind. He's so generous. He's so giving. He's so fine. Right? What's the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei called? Gevuras. That's what it's called. Gevuras. That's the name of the Api Halacha. The name of the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is Gevuras. The only sign of Gevuras, the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, is Mashav Ruch Mered HaGeshem, and it doesn't say Gevura, they read it. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Gevura is Gishon. Huh? But that's about it. Ata Giber, but what is the bracha about? Soymech Neuflim, Reifer Chelim, Mater Asurim, Mekayim Menos L'Sheniyof. In fact, the Rebbe, the Fidik Rebbe, has a Maimer, where he connects the second bracha Shemoneh Esrei to the four categories of Jews who survive a difficulty, Bichas HaGoyimah that you mentioned. Okay? Soymech Neiflim, He gives support to those who are falling. Reifechem, He heals those who are sick. Mater Asurim, He releases those who are in prison. Umekayim Menos L'Sheni Yofar, He fulfills His promise to those who have died. In other words, Tches HaMesim, Resurrection of the Dead. That's a Gevuras? What does Gevuras sound like? Gevuras sounds like judgment, criticism, severity, hardness. Forget! If the first Bracha Shemoneh Esrei is Chesed, the second Bracha Shemoneh Esrei is Chesed Shebe Chesed. Hashem is so kind that even people who are falling and who are sick and who are in jail and who are passed away, Hashem is kind to them. So why is the second Bracha Shemoneh Esrei called Gevuras? I'll tell you what I think. We live in a disposable world. Yeah, something breaks, you throw out and get a new one. The Eibishter doesn't do that, ever. The Rebbe explains that when Hashem swore to Noach that there won't be another Mamon, what He meant to say to Noach was, I will never ever take any piece of my world and throw it in the garbage, no more. He recycles, He repairs, He sustains. The Eibishter is a healthy person. A person gets sick, throw him out and start making a new one. A person died, throw him out and make a new one. No. Soymech Neiflim. Hashem invests energy in lifting up those who have fallen. Vareifer Chelim, healing those who are sick. Mater Asurim, releasing those who are imprisoned. And even those who are death, He gives them life again. This is the Gevura of the Eibishter. What's such Gevura? Hashem Kvayochu symptoms Himself, contracts Himself to get involved in not perfect situations and to repair them and to heal them. In other words, the difference between the first Bracha of Shemoneh Esrei and the second Bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is the first Bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is all about tzaddikim, wonderful Jews who are doing exactly what Hashem wants, and Hashem is kind to them. Great, that's wonderful. The second Bracha of Shemoneh Esrei is Eibishter's Gevura. What does Gevura mean? That the kindness of Hashem is like a laser. It's so fine-tuned, it's so focused, it's so exact. Hashem does not allow anything in His world to go to waste. The person who's in the worst kind of situations, materially and spiritually, Hashem doesn't destroy and doesn't dispose of. He repairs.
How did they get there?
They made bad choices, in some cases at least. So what's the Gevura? The Gevura is actually a deeper type of chesed. It's the chesed of Hashem, kvayochol, to be sensitive to the limitations of the world, to be sensitive to the limitations of the various creations in the world, and the Eibishter gives each one what they can get. And that's like kiliyolam chastay. I'm not thanking Hashem because He's kind. The kindness of Hashem can destroy me. The kindness of Hashem would be just as painful as the Eibishter's patch. The kindness of the Eibishter, that li'olam chastei, that when He gives kindness, it's given to the world in a way that the world can receive it. I mean, the best example is Yetzias Mitzrayim. You learned Chumash, right? Yeah? What's the Eibishter about to give in the Mitzrayim? 10 makis, kriyas yal, ma'isen asof. The Eibishter, the kiliyochol, what's taking Him so long? Why is it such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal to get in the Mitzrayim? What's the big deal? What's the teretz? Because the Eibishter doesn't want to destroy, the Eibishter to destroy the world is no big deal. He created a world. He doesn't want to destroy it. He wants to make it useful. Even Mitzrayim. When you want to affect the world, and not simply, you know, as the expression is, be as a bull in a china shop. You know what a bull in a china shop means? It's a very good visual. You have a beautiful, beautiful shop with the finest crystals. And the bull is walking down the aisles, right? The bull has no bad intentions. The bull's not angry at anybody. He's a behemoth, that's it. By mistake, stuff happens. You know what I'm saying? The Eivishter's world is not governed that way. So when Hashem is destroying Mitzrayim, he's preserving them. When Hashem is getting Yidden out of Mitzrayim, he's preserving Yidden also. And that's the process. It takes a lot more work. Or to say it in different words, Hashem took Yidden out of Mitzrayim. To kill Mitzrayim is not a big deal for the Eivishter. To take Yidden out of Mitzrayim is not a big deal for the Eivishter. To make Yidden free people, people who spent 100 years in the worst time of slavery, that they should feel like free people, that requires not chesed. That requires gvura. Gvura means exactness of chesed. To know exactly which buttons to push, which strings to pull, which levers to yank on, to have the desired effect. That's such kileilam chaste. The kindness of the Eibishter is that he does this kindness in the world. And now, all of a sudden, the next pasuk has a whole different taich. Mi emal gvuras Hashem. Who could speak the gvuras of the Eibishter? What did I say a few minutes ago? Mi emal gvuras Hashem means that this kapitel is describing the Eibishter's judgment of Klal Yisrael and his punishing of Klal Yisrael. Jewish people become negligent, indifferent, apathetic. Don't bother me. So Eibishter gives us gevura, yeah? But Chassidus says, Mi emal gevuras ad Hashem, the gevuras of the Eibishter are not meanness. The gevuras Eibishter is focus. The Eibishter hits the mark exactly. And it's always for the sake of goodness. And until you understand gevuras Hashem, you do not understand Yashmiya Kol Tehillasi. If a person's vision of Hashem is the Eibishter is simply this nice, sweet, wonderful God, never does anything, a little bit testing, he doesn't appreciate Tehillasi, he doesn't know the greatness of Hashem. The praise of Hashem is visible, we could see it, not only in the kindness of the Eibishter, but more so in the Gevuras. How the Eibishter governs his world, involves himself in his world in such a way that he preserves the world, he preserves everything in it, he preserves even the Shoyim, and it all has a purpose, and the Gevuras are so measured. That's the true praise of Hashem. So what I would say is that Kapitel Kuf Hei is describing Chesed, like the first Bracha Shemin Esrei, just unrestrained kindness. And Kapitel Kuf Vav is describing Chesed in the context of goodness. The Eibishter wants to give kindness to the world should go in a particular direction. The only way this can be possible is the Eibishter incorporates into the creation also Gevura. Sometimes the Gevura hurts, but the Gevura is always leading us. It's always taking us in a good direction. It's leading us down a particular path. Now, let me tell you what the deal is. Okay, I've been teaching this Eros Kapitel for many years. And I like it. I do it for me. I don't just do it for you. I do it for you too, but I like it. It's an enormous piece of work. I mean, you sit hours and prepare. And you read the Mefarshim. And of course, you read Chassidus. This Kapitel has a lot of Chassidus. 99% of it is on this Pasuk. And after this Pasuk, there's almost nothing. The Tzemach Tzedek brings 8 or 9 different sources in Gemara and in Zayah that explain this Pasuk. And a whole complexity of different nuances. There's so many different kvetches in how you could read this kapitel. Okay? I don't want to tell you all of that, but I just want to tell you one more. Okay? He says, and this morning in Shul, I started teaching it to the ladies. So a woman comes over to me after the Shia and she tells me that she grew up with the following interpretation. Mi yemalo gvuras Hashem. Who could sweeten the judgment of Hashem? Yashmiya kol tehillasi, say the whole tilim. If you want to sweeten the Eibishter's judgment, Yashmiya kol tehillasi, zog up gan tilim. Yashmiya, say the whole kapitel, the whole sefer tilim, and it sweetens judgment. But there are many, many, many other different interpretations of mi yemal gvuras Hashem, including such things as only a person who knows the whole Torah can possibly praise Hashem. People who are very frum and perfect, the Chazal bring. One Amora says to another Amora, we learn Torah properly. Imagine a Jew saying, I learned Torah correctly, and therefore we could praise the Eibishter. There's a famous story in the Gemara. With Rab Meir and Rab Nosson. Rab Meir and Rab Nosson, if you've ever learned Shas, are called Yashemrim and Achedim Oimrim. You ever in the Shas, Yashem and Achedim Oimrim. One of them is Rab Meir, one of them is Rab Nosson. Why? Because they got themselves into trouble. They came to the head of the Sanhedrin, and they got together, the two of them, they were both very bright, and they said like this, Mi Yigmal Gvuras Hashem, who could speak the Gvuras of the Eibishter, Yashmir Kol Tehilasi, has to know the whole Torah, however they interpreted it. Let's go to the head of the Sanhedrin, the Nasi, we'll ask him a question, he won't know the answer, we'll demote him, and we'll take his job. That's what and the Gemara, kachav. But because of this act of Mizakt, intellectual sabotage, so they were punished by Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who was an Einikol, and sometimes they're called Achedim Meimim, yet the names are not mentioned, Achedim Meimim Yeshem. But in any case, that's a touch. Mi Yamalo Gvuras Hashem, only when you know Gvuras Hashem, whether it means to learn Teda or it means something else. Yashmiya called Yilase, are you in a position to properly praise Hashem? Ashle Shemre Mishpat. How lucky is somebody who guards judgment? Who does tzedakah all the time. Now, here's my interpretation. The kapitel is saying that if we really want Hashem's chesed, we need gevura. Correct? If we truly want to experience the kindness of Hashem, there needs to be gevura. What is the easiest type of gevura possibly experienced by any person? Toughness. What's the easiest kind of experience of toughness any human being can experience? Man. The toughness you impose on yourself. It's a lot easier to do it to you than have somebody else do it to you. No?
How would someone hurt themselves?
Not hurt themselves, discipline themselves. Drive themselves. Try to get more out of themselves. So the pasuk is Ashrei, fortunate, praiseworthy, it's Shaimrei Mishpat. Those who guard judgment. In other words, it's a Torah. Correct? And the Torah has Asei and Lois Asei. What's the word in Chazal, in Tanakh, in Chumash, for Lois Asei? Shmira. Don't do any Avedis. In other words, people who impose the Gevuras upon themselves, Klayachal don't need the Eibishter to give them Gevuras. And it's deeper, and it's more correct, and it's a lot more comfortable. Right? So Ashrei, Shemei Mishpat, this is how I understand it. Fortunate are those who guard self-judgment, who don't get complacent, who don't get lazy, don't need the Eibishter to give them gevuras, to give them access to Kol Tehilasei, to the true kindness of the Eibishter. It's much more comfortable and effective and successful when you do it to yourself. We're not talking about suffering. But Chassidim didn't sleep overtime. Chassidim didn't eat overtime. Chassidim didn't indulge over it. Forget. Iskafia did a distinction between punishing the body and making themselves bleed and rolling in snow and doing all kinds of really, really, you know, self-inflicting kind of things. You know, in today's culture, it's called masochistic. You know, this is what the Baal Shem Tov was against. But the idea of discipline, of Shaimrei Mishpat, of guarding the law to the letter, and the Fnimi Shur Sadin, without a doubt, that's a critical part of Chassidus. Just on the word Mishpat, I want to share an idea with you. It rings well. Ashrei Shaimrei Mishpat, Oifet Tzedakah B'Chaleis. The Pasuk, could be it's in Tilim. Mishpat Utzedakah B'Yankev Ata Asisa. Mishpat means judgment, Utzedakah means charity, Tzedakah. In Yankiv you did. What's the connection between Mishpat and Tzedakah? Mishpat means judgment. Judgment, Bepashtus, means business. Be honest, don't cheat, don't lie, and so forth. So it says in Chassidus that Mishpat means the person judges himself. And the judgment is how much he needs. But not how much he needs committing America. How much I need, and I need a little more, and just in case, and an insurance policy, and the insurance policy needs to be insured, and that needs to be insured. But Mishpatak, a person judges what they need minimally, and the rest they give to tzedakah. Mishpat tzedakah, a person whose judgment of self brings, and when it comes to others, he's very generous, is an ideal way of serving Hashem. And perhaps this is the pshat. Ashrei Shem Rei Mishpat, people who guard the judgment of themselves so that they always say tzaka b'chaleis, that they can do tzaka all the time. In the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, on this capital, he brings a whole Kabbalah business, where he says that b'chol eis is klipa. All the time is klipa. Why? Because in Kedusha, no such thing is all the time. In Kedusha, everything has a time. Everything has a time. The idea of all the time the same is klipa. So he says, eis tzedaka b'chol eis is that a person does so much tzedaka, so much goodness, that he affects klipa as well. So since the Torah is saying that only when you have Gevuras Hashem, you can have Yishmiya Kol Tehillasei, the best Gevuras you can have is the Gevuras you impose on yourself. And the Meshayder, the poet who was singing this kapitel, now talks to the Eibusha directly. And he says, Zochreini Hashem, remember me. And the way I'm understanding it is as follows. We have established that to experience the Hillasei, to experience the real praise, the real kindness of Hashem, there has to first be, or there needs to be also, gvures havaya, severity. Not chas v'shalom, the Eibusha is mean or bad, but the Eibusha is directing us and also giving us depth. Correct? So sometimes you go through a down, but after the down comes up. Sometimes you go through a difficulty, but after the difficulty comes goodness. So he's saying, Zochreini Hashem, remember me, Eibusha, b'tzein amecha, when you're going to want your people. Pokdeini, count me in, or remember me, b'yeshua sech, when you give them Yeshua. In other words, if Yidden go through an experience of gevuras, Eibishter, it's necessary. Gevuras Hashem, I understand. But I want you also to include me when the gevuras pass, and there is retzein amecha, the Eibishter, in Yiddish, we went to yeshiva, they used to say, bavilikt. They never told us what bavilikt means. I hope my malamda knew what bavilikt means, right? The tzay means we've returned to the Eibishter's favorite status. The tzay namech, Hashem desires us. He wants us. Pokteini, count me, b'yeshua secha, when you give the nation salvation. Why? Why does this Mesheder say that when the chesed comes after the gevura, and really the word we want to use is not chesed, we want to use the word tehillah, right? Again, we're going with the assumption, kuf hei is chesed, Kuf Vav is Gevura, and after the Gevura, there's Yashmiya called Tehillasei. Why does this person say to the Eibishter, Zochreini b'tzayin amecha, and pogdeini b'shua secha? Because I want to see it. Lilas b'teves b'chirecha. I want to see the goodness you're going to give to your chosen nation. L'smayach, and to rejoice. B'simchas goyecha, in the joy of your nation. In other words, when Yidden experience the Tehillah of the Eibishter, which follows the Yimal Gvur Sad Hashem, I want to be there. Lehis Halil, to praise you and to be enlightened, Im Nachal Asecha, together with your inheritance.
So this is all talking about worries of suffering?
It depends. You see, the way we're establishing the capital is, Gvura means Gvura. The correct, I would say, the broadest translation of the word Gvura that matters to us is intensity. Okay? Great. You know, he was a very, very holy man. You have no idea. I mean, nobody has an idea how holy he was. And the derechez that our Rabbeim had for him, he was an angel. He wasn't human.
When was he around?
Huh?
When was he around?
He passed away in 1957. They published a whole book, The Escape of the Belzer Rebbe from Nazis, or whatever they call it. He was a holy man. The Rebbe met his nephew, the current Belzer. He said, I met your uncle. And he was a tzura b'lichem and mufshit from Gashmis. He was a neshama without a guf. And the Rebbe doesn't say words like that, just for, you know. He was a godly man, completely godly man. He had 63 family members, okay? 63 children and grandchildren. You know how many survived the Holocaust? Zero. Zero. He blieb mit gunished. Nothing, not a child, not an in-law, not a grandchild, nothing. He took along his brother, the Bilgerayarov. Upon him at Gizen, he kept on saying that he needs his brother with him. The whole time he's his brother, he's his brother, he's his brother. If I stood at Gizen Lamaila, the bells enough said that my Zaydah said that bells will be till Mashiach. And apparently he saw Baruch Kache that the future of bells is not from him but from his brother. The two of them survived, and that's it. From a huge family of tzaddikim, Bashit, he remarried, didn't have any children. His brother remarried, had a child, and died when the child was an infant. The current Belzerov lost his father as a baby, and he was raised by his uncle, who passed away when he was 8 or 9. You understand? It wasn't exactly a walk in the park. But in any case, so he never talked about the Holocaust. Never. Refused. He said, I'm afraid I'm going to say something bad about the Eibishter. Okay? A Yid once came to him. You have to understand the Belzerov. He was a tzaddik gomer. He was a holy, holy, holy man. But you know, him and God were... You would say they were tight. You know, they were mamish. David was very real. A Yid came into him, and without realizing the significance of what he was saying, he started to sort of console the Belzerov for all of his tzaddik. The man's life was hell. It was a nightmare. Falon the ganze mishpacha. And he said something to the Belzerov, something to the effect like, you know, you've had such a hard life. I had a hard life. I never had a bad day in my life. And he made the guy, he forced him to say, I think 3 times, to go to mikveh and to say, tell him a whole thing, a whole tshuva, that he should say that this that he said, that the Belzerov had a hard life, was wrong. The Belzerov never had a hard day in his life. The Eibishter only gave him kindness. Okay. Now, are you and I holding on that level? Just for record. Let's set the record straight. The Sayyid Atzadik Gomer, and he meant it. It's an impossible story to chew on. But yes, that's the pshayat. Yamalo gvuras adishem yashmi kol dilase. But in the human experience, Yidden have gone through difficulties. So he says, I want to see, not the reward for the difficulties, the correction. It's not that Hashem gives you a reward. It's the pshat, the gvura is only bringing us to tehillah, to a deeper relationship with the Eibishter. And he wants to be there when the chesed happens. Yeah. He wants to see it. He wants to see the goodness. Look in Kapitel Hey, Pasuk Hey again. Lira is to see the good of your chosen ones. L'smayach b'simchas geyecha, to joy, rejoice in the joy of your people. L'ishalel, and the word hilul, which is the same as the word tehillah, means praise. It also means to be filled of light. V'hilul neida l'reishi. It says in Tehillah in the Maamar of Chanukah. Im nachal asecha, with your inheritance. Okay? And now the kapitel starts. And the kapitel is a seesaw. Back and forth. Back and forth. Okay? And we start from the beginning. Pasuk Vov. Chatanu im aviseinu. We've sinned along with our fathers. Translation of these words is, if our fathers sinned and we haven't sinned, we're not going to be punished. Our father's business. But since chatanu im aviseinu, it says in Chumash, when we repeat the mistakes of our parents, we pay not just for our mistakes, but for the inheritance, for the fact that we're continuing a bad pattern. Hevinu, hirshanu. Which means, we've sinned, we've sinned. Chatanu, avinu, hirshanu means we've sinned, we've sinned, we've sinned. How many times are you going to say sin? So chet means b'shoigeg, oven means b'meizid, and resha, I'm going to assume, it's the same thing as pesha, means with chutzpah. You understand? It's three madregas of sin. Chatanu was mistake, Avinu would be on purpose, and Yerushanu would mean with, so to speak, with malintent, so to speak, to tell the Eibish that I don't care about you. And it continues. Pasuk Zayin now. Aviseinu b'Mitzrayim. Our ancestors came to Mitzrayim, and la'hiskilu nifloisech. They were not wise about your wonders. And even la'izachru, they failed to remember Esrev Chasadach, the abundant kindness that you showed them. Stop. Okay? What does this mean? What does this mean? Hashem did many, many miracles for Klal Yisrael. Okay? First of all, when we came to Mitzrayim, our whole history was miracles. Yeah? Jewish people knew that Avraham was a tzaddik and Hashem did many miracles for him. Yitzchak was a tzaddik and Hashem did many miracles for him. Yaakov was a tzaddik and miracles for him, and so forth, right? They forgot. They come to Mitzrayim. They, because they forgot their earlier miracles, the slavery of Yidden Mitzrayim was not only a physical thing that they were physically enslaved to make to work hard. It became a spiritual and intellectual slavery. They became slaves. They lost their initiative for freedom. They became psychologically and spiritually Egyptified. They became Fagoyish. Besides for Levi, with the exception of Levi. And that's a very good question that deserves further analysis. Okay? And then Hashem does miracles. 10 Makkos. One miracle, another miracle. So he says 2 things. They left Mitzrayim. Vahiskilu nifloisecha. You know how I translate the word hiskilu? They were not intuitive. They were not astute to the wonders of Hashem. And I'll explain you what I mean in a moment. And leizachar, they didn't even remember Esreif Chasadecha, the amount of kindness Hashem showed them in the 10 Makkos. In other words, there's two things. Yeah? Let's say you have a very, very wise grandfather, or a very wise father. Yeah? And he gives you things. But the things that he gives you, he doesn't only give you so you should have. He gives them to you because they're educational. He gives them to you because you think you're being given a gift, a prize, a toy, or whatever the case may be. In fact, you're being educated. So there's two levels. There's a child who says, oh, Reb Chasadecha, you're very kind. And there's a deeper child who is maskil the niflois. He's wise enough, he's intuitive enough, right? Intuitive means he has an ability to sense chiddush, to recognize Hashem is not just punishing Mitzrayim. Hashem is not just performing miracles to get us out of here. There's a pele here. There's something very wondrous, something much more meaningful to the whole story of getting going into Mitzrayim and coming out of Mitzrayim than simply Hashem performing miracles. So for sure, lo yiskil niflesecha, we lost that intuition that should allow us to realize the wisdom of the acts of God. And even less than that, we just simply fail to recognize Hashem's kindness. You follow? You see the difference? Okay. Thanks for nodding, is what I say in school. Okay. Vayamru. And we rebelled. First of all, Al Yam, next to the Yamsuf. Second of all, this says in Yaakov Shemini, Be Yamsuf. In the Yamsuf, we rebelled again. That's what he says. We had such short memories. Hashem did so many miracles. His kavaneh was take his skilu nifloisav. There was great intuitive, there's great depth and meaning in his miracles. Not only didn't we see the depth in his miracles, we forgot them. And we rebelled when we stood by the Yam Suf. And we rebelled when we were standing in the Yam already. This says in Medrash that the Yidden walked into the Yam Suf. And the Yam Suf was a quagmire. In other words, the waters went away, but there was mud. And the Jews are sinking into the mud. And they say to one another, we suffered with mud in Egypt. We got the mud follow us into the Yamsa. We're going to all sink in this mud. We're going to die. And then, even though they had such a short-sightedness, such a lack of memory and so forth, nevertheless, Vayishim Maman Shemay. Hashem saves them for the sake of His own name. Lahoidiya es kvurase. He wishes to inform the world of Hashem's Gvura. Now, how do we translate Gvura now? La'idiyas burase. The Abish is going to teach these Jews. He's not just either a benevolent father who gives things away to his kids and spoils them, or a brutal, powerful being who punishes, who smites his enemies. He wants to teach them Gvura. Gvura means that the Abish there's toughness, there's love, and the Abish there's love, there's depth. He's going to save the Jews, Laman Shmoy, for himself, not for them. Laidiyaz Gurasa, that they should eventually come to recognize the laser focus of how Hashem connects to his world. He's not just being overly generous, he's not being unreasonably brutal. There's a depth to his kindness, and there is an accuracy and a judgment to his generosity. So what does he do? Vayigar b'yamsuf. He screams at the Yamsuf. And there's a lot of different interpretations of the word Vayigar, but that'll be fine. In English it says, he roared at the sea. Okay? Vayacharav. And it became dry. Vayalichem batahoymes. And he walked with them in the depths. The depths means push at the bed of the ocean. Kamidbar. It was dry like a desert. Okay? Initially we went into the Yamsuf, it was muddy, and they doubted, and they questioned, and they complained. The Abishter made it chorav and like a midbar. And I've thought about this allusion. Why would the Pasuk describe Kiyas Yamsuf as being chorav and midbar? It sounds like negative terms. Destroyed and desert-like. Har Sinai is called chorav, you know that? Har chorav is one of the many names of Har Sinai. The mountain of Churban. What does that mean? There's a flip side to all of this, which we don't know at the moment. And therefore, Vayeshim Yatsaine, he saved them from those who hated them. Vayigolem, and he redeemed them, Yad Oyev, from those also, Oyev also means those who hated them. The difference between Tsaine and Oyev, you can do for homework. I don't know the difference, okay? And he saves them, and he is Goyal them. He redeems them. And I just want to say one word about Geula. And that is, that it says all over Hasidus, that when Hashem redeems the Jews, it's not simply an issue of taking them out of Mitzrayim. Yidnar Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a bad place, okay? Hashem comes along, takes them out. Very nice. Geula is a spiritual act. Hashem had to reprogram the minds of the Jewish people. 100 years of slavery. You know what that does to a person? You have absolutely no ability to make a choice. You have no ability to trust. You have no ability to be creative, no ability to plan. The Eibishter's redemption of Klal Yisrael was not taking them out of Mitzrayim. The cliche is, the bumper sticker would read, it's not taking the Jew out of Egypt, it's taking Egypt out of the Jew. Taking the whole sickness of being a Eved and being a Mitzri out of them. That's such a Yigalim. He redeems them from their own self-identity. He makes them into new Mitzrayim. And it's all leading to Lahidia Eskevod Asli. And we now continue. Hashem covers their oppressors with water. Finished, they disappear. They're covered up by the sea. Echad mehem le'noisad, not a single one of them remains. Echad mehem le'noisad, not a single one of them remains. And of course, the commentators immediately go off onto this whole discussion. This is the Yalkut Shemeni. Did Pari survive or did Pari not survive? Some say he survived till the very end, then he died. Others say, no, Pari survived. And I just thought of a very interesting remez. Elikim. Yeah? What's the gematria of Elikim? 86. What's the gematria of Mehem? 85. Echad Mehem, the one that's above 85. In other words, Parei says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo yidaiti es Havaya. I never heard of Havaya. So the Midrashim say, Elikim, Parei knew the God of nature, Elikim. In other words, he was willing to acknowledge that there were laws of nature and a master to those laws, but he wouldn't acknowledge Shem Havaya, which is called the God of the supernatural, the God of miracles. Echad mehem, even the godly point within Teva, the one within the 86, HaTeva, the Gemara 86, the godliness in the Elikim, also, Lay Nathan, nothing was left over. What happened? Jews became, they straightened out. They got Gvuras Hashem, they got Kol Tehillase, and of course, Vayaminu B'Dvarav, they became believers in a heartbeat, Yashiru Tehillase, and they sang his praise. Of course, Yashiru Tehillase goes under Oz Yashir. And V'yaminu B'dvarav means that they had developed a little bit of trust, right? What is the nekuda of Amunah? What is the nekuda of Amunah? That it's blind, right? That I know, you've proven yourself to me well enough that I will trust you without a contract and without a co-signer and without an odif, right? Oh, yeah. The Abishai gave words, and they had trust.
What's
a guarantor, a co-signer. Like in Chumash it says, that Hashem promises Avraham Avinu several gifts, promises him children, and he promises him Eretz Yisrael. So for Eretz Yisrael, Avraham says, Bama Eda. Give me a proof. But for children, Be'evin Hashem, he trusted the Abishai. He didn't ask anything. Like tzedakah is considered a great act of tzidkes on the Eibishter's part. So here it says, Vayaminu, the words of Hashem they're able to trust. Tehillase, what they were able to experience and appreciate what the Eibishter did, this they sang about. In other words, what they didn't understand and appreciate, they had faith in. What they did appreciate, they sang. Okay? So it sounds to me like we've gone through a cycle. Hashem has given Yidden, Reif Chasadov. The Yidden fail to acknowledge the generosity of Hashem, so the Eibishter gives them asherekait, and they regain faith. So far, so good, right? Next, miharu shokachu ma'isaf. Didn't take very long. Shokachu, them shoyim forget. You see, the cycle repeats itself 9 times in this capital. 1, 2. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Mehenu quickly, shokhu ma'isa, they forgot the deeds that Hashem did. Why? Lo'ichiku la'atzosei. The word chiku means to wait, to have patience. La'atzosei means to the divine counsel. In other words, chavre, the problem, anybody here at all interested in Michael Savage? Yeah, you, Michael Savage. Yeah, he's very, very entertaining, Michael Savage. I don't think anybody's going to disagree, right? Yeah, so he has his line. He says, God watches and waits. That's his line. God watches and waits.
God what?
God watches and waits. I can't say it like him. But what's the point? The whole world says, there's a God, do me a favor. Look what's going on. You know, in other words, that's like, God watches and waits.
Well, it doesn't mean that
means patience. Eitza means the wisdom of Hashem. This, the idea that there is actually a plan and a direction. You're hungry today. Don't go nuts. The Eibishter is going to take care of you. You know? Lechiko, they didn't have patience. They didn't have... This is more than emunah. This is perseverance. This is... If you've ever learned the Samach Vav is based on the pasuk Yaseh Lemechakelei. The whole Samach Vav, you've learned it. Yaseh Lemechakelei. Mechaka means patience. Gedult. The kapitel would say it's not enough to get the Reiv Chasadav. We have to be maskil nefloisa. We have to be.
You know what I mean?
We have to get the Gevuras Hashem, so we shouldn't repeat the mistake.
Gives us, gives us, then gives us, gives us, gives us, then it works. We just get lost in Gashmis. When suddenly it starts taking away, when it starts giving us, he shows us.
But I think he should keep on giving us. That's my opinion.
100%. The same, but.
But the point is, we should try.
Humans don't. We don't respond. The more you give us, the more we forget about him.
Okay, and Mashiach means that he gives us and we don't forget. Mashiach doesn't. He gives us and we don't forget. Mashiach means that we earned it, that we got Gevuras Hashem, that Hashem could give us Western civilization with unbelievable tests, unbelievable challenges, and we could bring the Eibishter into it, not just in Crown Heights. Teach the world about Hashem. This is the koiches. In other words, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. This modern world is going to become godly.
That wouldn't be able to happen 2,000 years ago.
Right.
You have to go through this.
The steps, the process, the imaginations. So he says, "Mi reshichu maisa." We quickly forgot his actions. Leichikul atosei. We stopped having the patience to see the wisdom what he was doing. And as a result, look at the pasuk Gidal. Listen to a pshatna pasuk, okay? Vayesavu taiva b'midbar. The Jewish people felt that taiva. They wanted to have a good life. Vayinasu keil. And they questioned God. B'yeshimin in a place called Shimon. Pasuk Gidalit. B'yeshimin is the name of a place.
What happened there?
They vayesavu taiva. They had a desire. Vayinasu keil. And they questioned God. In other words, like this. A lot of times, unfortunately, you hear it in this neighborhood too, people say, I don't believe in God. I'm not sure it's God. Organized religion, they have all these code words about it. What's the source of it? The attack of stakes in the moon? No, no, no. You want to have a good life. You want to do whatever you want. Oh, it's the pasnish zogging, I want to sin. I've got problems with God. They want to have a good life, but that would be too honest to say, I know Hashem gave us a Torah, I know I'm supposed to follow it, I want to have a good time.
No.
So instead of conceding and saying, I have spekis in the moon, a problem with the Eibishter. No, you start off with your own weakness and you blame it on the Eibishter. Anyway, Pasuk Tetzvav, yeah. V'yitzan lehem she'elosam, he gave them what they wanted. Yeah, we're going to go quick now, okay? And I can go on, let's just go through this quickly. V'yishal acherozei benavshem, and he ended up sending them starvation. They wanted to have slav, they ate until they were sick. Okay? That's the second tzara. Now goes the number three. Vayikano lemeishu machane. The Jewish people were jealous of Meishu Rabbeinu. And the way I read it is Vayikano lemeishu machane means they were jealous of Meishu Rabbeinu and they wanted to make him part of the camp. He's like one of us. He's not special. La'aren kadesh Hashem. Aren, who was the Holy One of God. This is Korach's story, by the way. He's Taka, a member of the camp. He was already a member of the camp, but he's holy. Meishu Rabbeinu was out of the machane. Aaron is Kadesh Hashem. They wanted to bring them down. They wanted to humanize Meish and Aaron and to make them into regular people. Mostly, yes. They forget. There was more under Meish. Tiftach Eretz. And the earth opened itself up. Vatifla Dosan and it swallowed Dosan. Vatchasan, it covered over Adas Avinam, the community of Avinam. Now, boys, I want to show you something. I have this obsession. I was preparing the capital and these ideas came into my mind. Dosan is the word Das, which means religion, and a langenun, right? Aviram is Avi, which means father, and Ram is exalted. So this is how I figured out. What's Dosan's klipa? Dos is a religion. Nun. Nun means you can schlep it down into the sewer. Below the line. In other words, there's no dignity, there's no clean, there's no dirty, there's no tznias and not tznias. Dosan means the religion could be schlepped all the way down. Aviram is Avi, the Eibishter Ram. He's up in the heavens. He's not down here. Dasan takes the Eibishter and he lowers him. Aviram takes the Eibishter and he makes him irrelevant. And the Eibishter opens up the earth and swallows them. Vativeresh Bahadasam, a fire burns at their community. Lahova and the flame Telahit Rishayim. It consumes the evil, the wicked. Okay? This is the third negative event. Then comes the fourth. Yasu Egel Bachayrev. They make a golden calf in Chayrev. Notice the word Chayrev. They bow down to a Masecha. Now, boys, the translation of the word Masecha, amongst other things, means a mask. In other words, the whole issue is we never met the Eibishter. The Eibishter doesn't look like anything, right? Our connection to Hashem is through what we call in Kabbalah Levushim, garments. But you have a Levush Oir, Lichtike Levush, Oita Oir Kasama, a garment which reveals the Eibishter, and you have a garment which conceals over the Eibishter. A garment that reveals the Eibishter is Kedusha, a garment that conceals over the Eibishter is Avodah Zarah. So we bowed down to one Masecha, and here's what we did. Vayamiru, we traded in, we replaced, as Kevaidam, their own honor. In other words, they traded in a garment which reveals Hashem, B'tavnis, with a model, with a gestalt, with a garment, which is totally disconnected from Hashem, Shoyrech Aleisav, an ox-eating grass. And we learned, remember, we learned the Ramban, right? About the Egel, the Ramban's commentary on the Egel. He explains the significance of Shoyrech Aleisav. But all the Mephashim say that the Aesav means grass. The idea of an ox eating grass denotes nidirikait, lowliness. Shakachu, they completely forgot. Kael, their God, Moshiach, who saved them. Who did great things in Mitzrayim. Niflois wonders, Be'eretz Chom, in the land of Chom. Mitzrayim is one of the sons of Chom. Neirois HaYamsev, and awesome things on the Yamsev. Now, if I had more time, we just read four things. Kel Moshiach, Oisigedelis B'Mitzrayim, Niflois Be'eretz Chom, Neirois HaYamsev. But we don't have more time, so let's keep going. Vayeim Elashmidim, and the Eibishter thought to destroy them. Lulei, small problem. And it says in the Mefarshim that Lulei, whenever it says the word Lulei, it goes on Tzchus Ovis. Lulei, if we're not for the fact that Moshe Bechire Omad BaPeretz, that Moshe is chosen one, stood in the crack. That's how you read it. Peretz means in the crack. Lefonov. And Kvayachal facing Atzmus Amhus, the Rebbe, the Alta Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzadik has a whole Arichas, a Pikabola, it goes on Pnimi Zatik. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mizok, face Debishta down. Lahashel Chamosei, to take back his anger. Mehashchis from destroying the Jewish nation. And Debishta agreed. So how many we have so far? That was Kvayochel. It says in Chumash. It says in Chumash. Va'ata hanichali, leave me alone and I'll destroy them. Says Rashi, what do you mean leave me alone and I'll destroy them? Rashi says the Eibishter was hinting to him that if you won't leave me alone,
he's opening a dialogue.
Right, exactly. He was creating the opportunity and Moshe walked right in. Now goes the fifth. And this is the Meraglim, okay? Va'yamasu be'eretz Chanda. They were disgusted by the choice, by the favored land, the beloved land. There's the word amuna again. Sometimes you got to trust. Sometimes things are beyond your comprehension. Right? What was the Meraglim's whole deal? You can't be religious in Israel. You can't be a chassid shid in America. In the desert, you could be a chassid. They didn't have amuna to the words of the Eibishter. And therefore, vayaragnu, they complained. He translates in English, they murmured in their tents. They did not pay attention to the words of the Eibishter. And the voice of Hashem. You know that in Chassidus and Kutateira, it doesn't say likkoy l'Hashem, it says bikkoy l'Hashem. So Chassidus says, the pnimis of the Eibishter's voice. They heard his word, but they didn't hear the godly inyan that was underneath it. Vayisa yad elohim. So Eibishter raises his hand. And this means he raised his hand and he made a shvua. He swore lahapal leisam amidbar, to throw them into the desert. They would spend time in the desert. And then, ulahapal zaram bagoyim, to throw their descendants amongst the nations. And to scatter them amongst the lands. In other words, boys, the chet hameraglim, the sin of the meraglim was the source of golos. It says in the Mefarshim, lahapal oisam bamidbar, they would spend 40 years in the desert, and lahapal zarah bagoyim, ulzareisam barasis, this goes on the other golias. The egel azov sparks all the subsequent golias. And when I was preparing this, magafal magadank, that says in Chassidus, that the word Zriya means to plant. He planted us amongst the nations that we should get something back. So on the surface, Lahapal Isam Bamidbar, Lahapal Zaram Bagoyim, Ulozare Samaratis is negative. But the result of it is Zereya Tzedakis Matzmiach Yeshuis. Eventually something good comes forth. But in any case, this is the fifth complaint. Now go six. They became smitten with Baal Pe'ed. That's the translation. He says in English, and they joined themselves to the Baal Pe'ed. And they ate sacrifices of the dead. The Baal Pe'ed is the taiva of Eishes Ish. And the Baal Pe'ed means the Zorah. And they did it lahachis. They didn't just do an aveda, but they were showing up God, and Abish was angry. They did avedas, and they didn't only enjoy it, but there was a spite element in it. Vatifat b'magefa, and a plague taka broke out. And it says in the Mefushim, half of Shevet Shimon dies. Vayamid Pinchas. Pinchas stands up. Vayefalo. You know what vayefalo means? It doesn't mean to daven. He acts as a judge and mishpat. They're guilty, we'll punish him. If they're not guilty, leave him alone. Lashon b'flilim. V'atayotzer ha-magefa, he stops the plague. But the chashav le tzedakah, and the act of Pinchas is considered for him an act of tzedakah, l'deir v'deir, in all generations, under all circumstances, ad olam, forever. Or as we would translate, ad olam, it reaches the real world. Right? So that's number six. Now goes number seven, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Vayaktsifu al mei meriva. They got the Abish that angry at the story with hitting the rock. Mei meriva. Vayedal meisha ba'avurim. And the Abish that was evil, punishing to Meisha Rabbeinu on their behalf. And by the way, Vayedal meisha ba'avurim means Hashem was mean to Meisha Rabbeinu ba'avurim for their sake. Not because of their misdeeds, for their sake. You know what it says in Sfarim? It says in Sfarim that if Meisha Rabbeinu would not die and pass away in the Midbar, the Deir Amid would not have Tchias HaMesim. Because they didn't need Ches HaMesim. They said, we're Elam HaMachshava, we have nothing to do with the real world. But Moshe loved that it's Israel. Moshe staying in the Midbar, which on the surface was a punishment, preserves them, because he deserves Ches HaMesim. He loved that it's Israel. He's going to schlep his whole generation with him. And that's the pshayt, Vayera L'Moshe Bavurim, to help them. Farvas, Ki Himru Es Ruchai. They rebelled against his spirit, or they changed his spirit, Vayvata besvasov, and Moshe said the wrong words. Vayata means he said the wrong words. He called them meidim. Shimon ha-meidim. Very interesting thing. It says in the Rambam, and it says in the Shemim too, that what was Moshe Rabbeinu's crime by hitting the rock? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's crime? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's aveda? That he called the Jewish people troublemakers. Who are you to criticize my Jews? As I state the Rambam in the Geras Hashmad, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was punished because he called Yidin meidim. They caused him to change his spirit. He called them Shimon HaMoirim, and that's why he was punished. And of course, Bepashtas, he was punished for hitting the rock. And now go to number eight. And this is the most tragic, I would think, of all, perhaps. They didn't wipe out the Goyim. They came into Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem said, you shouldn't cohabit with the Goyim. You have to be separate from them. And they didn't want. I want to tell you something. This is brought in Gemara and in Halach. The Rashi Mshutish HaMekhi doesn't hold like this, but this is the Halach. The Yidden were not told, go into the cell and kill every Kanani. It's pushed not the case. The Yidden, Yeshua ben Nun, when he took control of the Jewish community, when Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, he sent a message to the Kananim. We're coming in. Let's be friendly neighbors. If the Kananim would agree to those terms, They would make a peace treaty. They would live comfortably. And the Kananim said, "Bad, you step across this river, we'll kill you." So Yeshua sent another message: "We're coming in. Run away. Save yourself." And they said, "You come across this river, we're going to kill you all." So he says, "We're coming in. You're ready to fight." Once the Yidden crossed the Yarden, they could no longer go back to the earlier terms. The Givainim, who came to Yeshua, and they make believe they came from far away, and they wanted to make a peace treaty, and they made a whole covenant. The crime was that they waited till after Yeshua crossed the Yarden. Had they done it before Yeshua crossed the Yarden, it would have been fine. But once the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael and the Goyim refused to give up the belief in their gods, it was a big aveda to live amongst them because they assimilated. Vayisarvu ba'goyim, they assimilated amongst the nations. Vayilmudu ma'aseim, they learned their actions. Vayavdu satzabeim, they worshipped their depressed gods, in other words, their helpless gods. Vayilam l'maykish, and they became to them a streichelung. Remember from Malateda? Yeah, what does streichelung mean? Whatever. Yeah? A stumbling block. Something that you stumble over. Okay? Vayizbuchu as b'neim v'ez b'nei she'en l'shedim. They slaughtered their sons and daughters. Yidden used to be makiv children, human sacrifice. L'shedim. And if you don't know, if you've ever studied Avodah Zarah, which you're not allowed to, but the Rambam talks about it, the higher Avodah Zarahs were involved with malachim. The lower Avodah Zarahs were not involved with malachim. with Shadim, with spirits, with demons, with ghosts. And this is what they were slaughtering their children to. They spilled innocent blood. The blood of the children, that they sacrificed to the depressed, to the helpless gods of Canaan. The earth became contaminated with blood. The earth became, he translates, polluted with blood. Their actions were unclean. And their schemes, their plans were off the right path altogether. And Yehoshua is angry. He was disgusted with his inheritance, with us. And he gives into the hands of Goyim. And our enemies rule over us. And they mock us. And they make a joke out of us. Right? Like the Gemara says, Tzitzis HaRasha comes into the Beis HaMikdash, he takes a dagger, and he stabs the Pareches. And blood flows. So he comes out holding a blood-soaked dagger. He says, look, I killed your God. He made a joke out of Yid Nebuch. It was the worst. In other words, the Eibishter allowed himself to be made into a mockery, and he kept quiet. And their enemies, those who hated them, oppressed them, and they became subdued under their hands. And Pasuk Mem Gimel summarizes Jewish history. Many times he helps them and saves them. And they keep Yamru. Yamru means rebelling, but Yam means to change their wisdom. They stop being smart. They stop being loyal to the Torah, to the Eibishter. And they become weak in their sins. Atkan Jewish history. Now comes the favorable part. The end of it is that the Miyamal Gvuras HaDeshem is always to bring Yashmiya Kolti Elasei. Vayad Batzar Lahem, the Eibishter sees their oppressiveness. Vishamiya Serinasa, and he listens to their davening. He remembers the covenant, and he has a regret for their suffering, because he has roiv chasadim, abundant kindness, which we had before in Pasuk Zion. And he gives to them mercy, before all of those who capture them. And he brings them back. So it says in Medrash, Yalkut Shemini, and Rashi and Ebenezer have a variation of it, that there are five reasons Hashem saved the Jewish people. And they are Tzaddis, okay, Tefillah, the Zchus Avos, Tshuva, and Ketz. Okay, and I'm not a genius. I'm reading from the margin. The Eibishter fix the Mashiach has to come. I wish I wrote it down on my margin. But I have the Alkut in my briefcase. Rashi and
Tzar,
the...
Why Tzar?
But Hashem sees the suffering, this is from the Eibishter Rachman. The fact that Yidin suffer, Yidin are hurting.
Without them knowing that they're suffering.
No! Of course they know they're suffering. They're forbidden in Golos. They don't know perhaps why they're suffering. The suffering alone, then the davening, the Zchus Avos, the Tefillah, and the fact that Hashem says a Ketz. You know which one is Ketz? Hoshienu is Ketz. The Pasuk Mem Zayin. So for these five reasons, the end of the day is that the end of Gevuras Hashem is called Tehillah. That's what you have to understand. And the kapitel finishes, Hoshienu Adeshem Elokeinu, save us, Eibishter, V'kabetzenu, and gather us. And of course, this word, V'kabetzenu, tells us that the one who's writing this is in Golos. So it either was written in the times of the Shoftim. You know the history of the Shoftim? The Jews were no longer a nation. Moshe was the king of the Jews. Yeshua was the king of the Jews. They became tribes. Mamish tribes. One part of Israel is living wonderfully. Another part of Israel is being pummeled by some Goyish nation, Aram, Plishtim, Moav, and they don't even know about it. There's no communication. There's just a bunch of tribes. And that's the V'kabetzenu, make us into a nation.
So unless we ask for it, it's not going
to
happen?
That's a good idea. We should ask for it. The reason we have to ask for it... The reason we have to ask for it is because if we ask for it, it means to say we learned a lesson. Which is the whole Nakuda. Hashem is not being mean. Hashem is directing. And he's not giving up on us. The times of the Shvatim, the Yidden were not a nation. Okay, the one who made the Jewish people a nation is Shmuel. That's why Shmuel was so great. And that's why Shmuel was so resentful when they asked for a king. He says, 400 years you lived like a bunch of tribes. I made you a nation. Who was Shmuel? Shmuel was the Beis HaMikdash. Shmuel was the Teder. Shmuel was the Navi. And you want a political leader? 300 years, you didn't think about politics. Rebbe, you come into again. The Achmach mentioned, now you all of a sudden you want to have a nation, you understand? So The Eben Ezra said this is written in times of the Shaftim. Make us into a nation, you understand? Other Mepharshim say that it's Pashat Ruach HaKadosh, it's going on, the Eben Ezra also said it, it's going on Golos. When Metaka dispersed amongst the nations, the Kabbatah gather us men are going from the nations, Lahoidos, to praise and to thank and to submit. L'shem Kachecha, to your holy name, L'hishtabeach, and to praise and be praised, B'tehila Secha. Now notice, it's the same word in the end of Pasuk Beis. Tehila doesn't just mean that God is nice. Tehila means that we recognize the niceness connected to the gvuras of Hashem as opposed to simply for free, undeserved, unsolicited, unfocused. In other words, I'm not saying gvuras are mean. What gvura means is that there's a purpose. What Chabad Hasidim call apnimius. Seeing the goodness of apnimius. This is the tehila. Okay, and of course we finish with a bracha again. Baruch Hashem, blessed is the Eibishter, and a Chassidus Baruch means Amshacha. Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel. And notice all of a sudden he's calling us Yisrael. We're Shem Hamayla on a higher level. Min Ha'Olam Ad Ha'Olam, from Ein Nekvelt, Bizin Tzveit Nekvelt, from one end of the world to the other. This Min Ha'Olam Ad Ha'Olam, you can talk about for, you know, Min Ha'Olam Ad Ha'Olam. V'yamak Al-Om, and all the Yidin say Amen. Amen Emes. Hallelujah, we praise the Eibishter. Shrein. That's the kapit. The Eibishter, how from the Tehillah. Nicht die Gewürze, die Gewürze hat mich schon jetzt gewesen.